Gracious God, we thank you for your presence this evening. We ask you to open our hearts and minds to whatever you have to say to us tonight through the songs, through fellowship, through the word, through the messages we're going to speak to tonight there, Lord. We just pray these things in a mighty, wonderful name. Amen. So as I said, the last 2 weeks of Definition for the Year, we wanted to spend it in a different way. We wanted to hone in on some things that we sort of thought we're creeping into the youth and adults ministry a little bit, but also tools that will help us for the rest of our lives and things we can work on for the rest of our lives as well. I mean, last week we covered judgment and then how we're judging and how we do it subconsciously as well. We don't even realize we judge people when other people feel judgment. And tonight we're going to be looking at something called conflict resolution. And it's something that we don't do very easily, and it's something that doesn't come natural to us. Some people it does. There's some people that want to point out flaws and conflict and resolve that sort of stuff all the time. But most of us, it doesn't. And so we want to touch on that briefly tonight. And I'm not going to give you the whole thing, but hopefully I can give you a couple of tips that will help you, not only now, but for the rest of your life. Because the things that I'm sharing tonight, I'm still working on myself. And I wish I had known them 10, 15, 20 years ago. Because these are tools that come in handy for the rest of your life. But I want to start first off by asking a question, which I think, and I better check this first. How many times, if your friend had his fly undone, would you tell them? Yes, yes you would. And if your friend had food on their face, would you tell them? Yes. Hey, good question. Now, I've got a scenario for you. If you were the one that put food on their face, would you tell them? A scenario here, this is what happened to me, okay? Now, I might have shared this story with a couple of you before, but it's worthwhile sharing again. Once a month here in the Sunday morning congregation, we have a barbecue Sunday. We have free sausages and what's traditionally called now Sausage Sunday. And so you have free sausages, and for my kids it's great. For me it's great because I don't have to provide lunch for my kids that day. I say, hey, here, have a sausage or 10. And they love it. They get sauce all over them. They come home messier than they ever have before. Combine that with the sandpit. I don't know what's worse, the sausages or the sandpit. But one of the things happened to me a fair while ago. It happened to someone who's no longer part of this church, so I don't think he still knows what happened to him yet, so let me just tell the story. There was a story when I was having a sausage. I was hoeing into one of these sausages, and I enjoy my sausage. There's something like a good sausage when you're hungry. And so I was hoeing into it, and this one of my friends came up to me and started talking. And so we got through the pleasantries. He's saying, hi, how are you? What's going on? I said, yeah, good, I'm good. And all of a sudden, something flew out of my mouth. And it was like happening in slow motion, because I saw it go from my mouth and land on his lip. Now, I thought, what am I going to do? He hasn't had a sausage yet. He's come straight from church to talk to me. So if I tell him there's a bit of sausage on his face, he's going to immediately know I was the one who put it there. Not put it there purposely. I didn't go, there. And it came out of my mouth and landed on his lip. So I waited a few minutes to see if he'd notice it and get it off himself. He didn't. It was still there. And it was annoying me more than it was annoying him. So I wondered, what should I do? So I finished my sausage and left that conversation and moved on to another conversation, not knowing what happened next. So I was too embarrassed to tell him that I was the one who caused the problem. Now, I'm not too sure. Now, in hindsight, maybe now I would have had the confidence to say, hey, look, you know, you got this bit of sausage on your face. Don't know how it got there, but you got it there. But in that situation, I didn't know what to do. And it's like, but now, as I said, I'm okay with that. Now okay, I can say to someone, hey, look, you know, you got something on your face, you got something there. And I can bring myself to do that sort of thing. And now, I mean, when I was working at a concierge at a hotel, we got paid to do that sort of stuff there. Because obviously if someone has tie wrong or a button the wrong place or has something stuck in his shoe, then we would say, hey, look, you know, you might be going to an important meeting now, but let me fix your tie up. Or you got something on your face, you don't want to meet clients like that. So we would get encouraged to do that. And obviously we wouldn't go, ha, you got a thing on your face. We would just bring it up casually and say, hey, before you go out, just wash your face a little bit. So we with our friends, we'd like to do that. And we think we'd like to do that. So where does a line come when we start to mention something and we don't mention something? So we all talked before about mentioning to a friend if their fly was undone or if they had food on their face. But what about if your friend smelt and needed to use the deodorant? How many people would do that? I see a couple of nods and a couple of people still questioning about it. Or what about if a friend offended you? How would you go about that? You see, the line starts to get a little bit blurred. The line starts to stop a little bit. And sometimes to the point where we carry around grudges and we carry around things on the back of our mind which we don't mention to other people. What about when someone hurts you or hurts your feelings? We often keep that to ourselves. Very rarely do we say, hey, no, you hurt me the other day. Very rarely do we do that. We're not good in ourselves at this conflict resolution. We're okay when we mention food, but not okay when we mention feelings. See, today's Western society, we don't like confrontation. It's not just us. It's not people of your generation. It's our generation. It's younger. It's older. People don't like conflict. But when handled correctly and handled right, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that much of a bigger problem. So the problem is that we let things dwell and fester in our own minds. And if someone hurts us, rather than dealing with them, we'll often talk about it with our friends or talk about it with someone else. Or we gossip and we backstab. And then the problem starts from here and gets a whole lot bigger than what it was beforehand. And so we're getting more and more people involved in it now. And unfortunately, as I said, we usually think it's a younger generation thing. It happened in high school. But I can guarantee it happens throughout life. See, it makes things a whole lot worse than what it was before. And see, last week we were talking about becoming judgmental and judging people for the wrong reasons. This builds on that. Because not only do we judge, we pass the gossip. We don't confront the people. We make the problem first that was small, make it into a lot bigger. See, for some reason, most of us prefer that method. We don't like to confront the problem. We just hide it and make it bigger. Now, we don't realise we're making it bigger, but that's what does happen. See, I wish I had known that when I was younger, because it would have saved me a whole lot of troubles and problems. But it's never too late to learn this stuff. So why don't we bring these things up? Fear is one of the biggest things. Fear controls this sort of stuff. The fear that it will make the situation worse. The fear that I'll get hurt in the process. The fear that the other person will disregard everything I say. The fear that the other person will get hurt. And I'm sure you can think of lots of other fears as well. But I have to ask the question, are these fears rational? Are these fears realistic? Some of the time they are, but most of the time they're just played out in our head. Most of the time they're bigger than what we think. We're so great in turning something small into a massive thing, turning a molehill into a mountain. You know, we turn something so small, it plays around in our head and mind, we make it so much bigger than what it originally was. See, we overthink things way too much. So what happens when this situation happens? What happens when someone hurts you? What happens when there's a bit of conflict between two people? What can we do about that? Funnily enough, the Bible has some tips on that sort of thing, which we can share to do that. We're going to help you with that sort of stuff. So when you need to have a difficult talk to someone, or someone's been upsetting you, what can we do? The first thing to do is to pray. That's not the first thing. I must have forgotten a sign on there. Anyway, Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanks, present your request to God. Give it up to God. Let him help you guide what is next to give to do." So I'll repeat that. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." That's prayer. There we go. So I did have it up there. The first thing we need to do is pray about it. The first thing we need to do is pray about it. Get down on our knees. There's a great story by Charles Spurgeon. regarding says, when a mother has a sick child, it is marvelous how quick her ears become while attending it. Good woman, why we wonder she does not fall asleep. If you hired a nurse, it is 10 to 1 she would. But the dear child in the middle of the night does not need to cry for water or even speak. There is a little quick breathing. Who will hear it? No one would except the mother. But her ears are quick, for they are in the child's heart. Even so, if there is a heart in the world that longs for the things of God, God's ear is already in that poor sinner's heart. He will hear it. There is no good desire on earth, but the Lord has heard it. See, God is like that mother in the middle of the night, just waiting to see what the response is from that baby. I know when my child's sick, you know, a little whisper. I think, oh, I'm going to run to it. I think, are you okay? Are you okay? And then God's like that. God wants to wait for us to hear us when we pray. Any little thing, whether it's small or big, God wants to hear us pray about it. So after praying about it, there's a number of things that we can do. The first thing is not really the conflict resolution part, but it's good to look at to begin with. The first thing we can do is overlook it. If we can forgive it on the spot and not let it bother us and never talk about it again, overlook the fault. We are not perfect. None of us are perfect. There are some of us who are less perfect than others, but none of us are perfect. We've all got faults, and sometimes we do need to overlook faults in that. We're not talking about ignoring it. Ignoring it is different to overlooking it. Sometimes the best thing you can do is hold your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and overlook the fault. Now it's the verse of what was that before. Verse Peter 2:3, Jesus did this greatly. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He didn't say a word. He overlooked their faults. See, like, I'm reminded of Jesus on the cross. Like, he didn't, when people were hurling abuse at him, he didn't just sit there and sing the Monty Python song, "Always look on the brighter side of life." He didn't do that. He just said, "Forgive them, Father. They do not know what they do." So he's not ignoring them and not singing the song. He's overlooking it and saying, okay, they don't know what they're doing. I'm not going to hurl back. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm going to pray for those people. That's the first thing we can do, is just pray for them and see if we can overcome it. But if that doesn't work and there's some situation where you just can't overlook or it's in the back of our mind the whole time, then again, just as Jesus addresses this way. Matthew 18 verses 15 to 17. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained a brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even the church, let him to be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So this is the important text we need to look at. This is an important way of dealing with stuff. Now, but let's unpack it just a little bit. At the beginning of Matthew 18, Jesus tells, in verses 3 to 4, he says, we had become like little children. And not that we're going to come all our problems kicking and screaming, as some children do, but we're supposed to humble ourselves like a little child. Have that naivety to say, okay, let's humble ourselves. Let's be a little bit quieter. So humble means bring low, and it's the opposite of what the flesh wants us to do. See, in conflict in this situation, flesh wants to exalt ourselves. We want to justify ourselves and say, hey, I'm right here. I don't care what you think. I'm right here. That's what we want to do. But in these situations, that doesn't help. And that sort of stuff, we need to be thinking, okay, how can we grow? See, when we're dealing with conflict with another person, the goal is reconciliation, not justification. See, in other words, our hope is to mend the relationship and not to make it worse. Because if only one person wins, there's no winners. There's only real losers. So we have to work a way where everyone can be a winner in this. And if we go in all guns blazing and say, hey, I want to win, no one wins. No one does that. So when we want to tackle these things, we must ask ourselves, am I walking and motivated by love? Is my heart in the right place? So the first thing Jesus says about this is that go and have a private conversation with him. Off the bat, he says, hey, before you go tell anyone else, before you go gossip behind someone's back, before you go share the problem, bring it up with the other person. Bring it up the top with the person. See, when someone comes to you with a problem, this is what we need to do. So often we don't do this. So often we let it stew in ourselves. So often we let it dwell in our mind. We don't share it with ourselves. We let it with other people. And so that's the next point. We need to do it straight away. We can't let it fester in our mind. We can't let it build and grow and do that, because if it does, it's going to get bigger than it was before. Now, there's a little problem. And the other person, as we worked out last week, the other person might not even think it's a problem, might not even recognize it. So if we let it get bigger than what it was, the other person still thinks it's a little sore, then we have to do it straight away. See, the reason it is so urgent to the Lord and to Jesus is because the damage it can create if we don't discuss it. It can get worse and worse if we don't discuss it. See, if we were to have a broken leg, we would go to a doctor straight away and fix it. But so often we have a broken heart, we don't get it fixed straight away. We don't try and fix a problem straight away. We think, oh, we can deal with it ourselves. So often, sometimes we can. Most of the time, we can't. Most of the time, we need to get to that other person and talk to them about it. Meet face to face. It's the easiest way to do it. In this day and age, text messages, Facebook is okay to a certain extent, but you can't see the emotion without going face to face. I've had so many different conversations, and probably one in the last 48 hours, where I thought someone was meaning one thing on a text message, and then they meant something else. And so I thought, oh, hang about, I have to go back here, and okay, did he actually mean this or that, or that stuff there? So it's easier to do that face-to-face. So the ball can start rolling when it's on Facebook or that stuff there, but it's easy to do face-to-face. See, there's a great blog from Ralph Mayhew, and he just put out this thing this week, which is really cool, on how to have that difficult conversation. So if you want to look at it, I'm going to take the next 4 or 5 tips out of there, but he's done 10 out of it. So read the blog after that sort of stuff there. It's really cool. But the first one, it's just another conversation. So often we build it up to be so much bigger in our own minds. Have you ever been in those conversations where you thought, oh, just started talking about cheese and all of a sudden it escalated into something bigger and someone got offended, not cheese, but something else. And the other sort of time when you thought, this is going to go really bad in my mind, when you go have a conversation with them, it's okay. It's just another conversation. If we think it's going to be any bigger or smaller than what it is, that's when our mind plays tricks on us. Which leads us to the next one. It's way worse in your head than it is in real life. Especially if we don't address it quickly, because it just plays over in our mind. And we've all got silly brains that think the worst case scenario all the time. And it just plays over and over. And if we don't dwell on it, if we don't deal with it, that worst case scenario gets bigger. And all of a sudden, that first worst case scenario is not as big as the next one. And it just keeps getting bigger. So the response from the other is unlikely to be as bad as the one in your head. Next one is when you go into it. Don't be accusatory. Like we said before, don't go in all guns blazing. The idea of one of these situations and conversations is for there to be all winners at the end of it. Be kind and be gentle. Have the other person's heart. Be quick to listen, not to judge. We talked about that last week, and it's great here as well. Have you think, I want to have this conversation, but I want to listen to the other side of the story. I want to listen to what the other person has to say. Make sure that you leave nothing that needs to be said unsaid. Sometimes we go into it 1,000 miles an hour. We think, I want to say this and this and this, and what if they respond this way? What if they do that way? What if they do that way? And all of a sudden we forget about it. And then you walk away thinking, oh, did I even say what I wanted to say? Did I even get my viewpoint? Did they understand me? It can happen. I've had that happen to me. And so even it could be to say, hey, look, I want to write down these points and make sure I want to say these things. Because you don't want to let the problem drag on and drag on. We want to get everything dealt with then and there. So if it takes 5 minutes, it takes 5 minutes. If it takes half an hour, it takes half an hour. But you want to deal with it then and there. So we know these conversations aren't going to be easy, but we are called to do something about it. We're not supposed to let it fester and dwell. We're not supposed to share it with our friends. We're not supposed to backstab. We're not supposed to hurt people when people have hurt us. Jesus calls for us to deal with it. See, Jesus goes on to say, if at first they don't listen to you or if they ignore you, bring another person into the conversation. Someone who can be impartial. The worst thing that you can do is have someone on your side. So it's going to be like, oh, instead of one against two, it's going to be three against one and going up on them. They're not going to like that. Bring into it one or two others who might know the situation and say, hey, look, I'll just bring this person along so we're going to help the situation. You know? The reason for that is, as I said, it's not to gang up, it's just to hear both sides of the story and to make sure that both people are hearing it and both people are listening to it. Don't use it as an opportunity to gang up on people. Use it as an opportunity to help each other. Then Jesus says, if that doesn't work, bring it to the church. As I've said lots of times before, I'm always here to help you with this sort of stuff. Even if you just want advice on how to deal with it or do that sort of thing, bring it to us. Bring it to a small group leader. Bring it to Anne. Bring it to myself. Bring it to the leaders here. We can help you out with this sort of thing. Because as you've seen, not only here but elsewhere, that a problem between two or three people can affect the whole group and can affect the whole community and can affect a lot of people than just the two or three people there. So bring it to people. Talk to people about it. I know that goes a bit against what I said to begin with, and don't backstab. But the reason to bring it up to people is not to backstab or anything. It's like, hey, look, I need advice on this sort of thing. I need help. How do I do it? But so often, we bypass steps two and three. We don't even think about step one. We don't even try step one. So we can talk about steps two and three, but so often we don't even do step one. We forget about it and just let it dwell in our hearts and fester in our hearts. And that's where we as a society have a problem. See, Jesus knew what it was like to be hurt. He was rejected by his own people, constantly questioned by the authorities, accused by your people, misunderstood by his disciples, just betrayed and denied by his friends, mocked and tortured by his enemies. So he knew what it was like to be hurt. And this is the advice he's giving us. It's like, when we feel hurt, let's confront it. Let's talk about it. Very rarely do we deal with it. So as I said at the start, it's taken me a long time to get to this point where I can do this sort of stuff. And I'm very grateful for you guys who bring this sort of stuff up with me. When I do something wrong, and I do something wrong a lot of the times, you guys come and say, hey, you realize you did this? You realize you did that? I say, no, I didn't realize, or hey, I did realize that, but let's talk about it a little bit more and see what your thoughts are. And I'm very grateful for you guys to do that. And as I said, it's taken me a long time to get to that point where I can do it with other people. But the more you do it, the easier it becomes. The better the community comes, the better your own skills about this sort of stuff comes. I was talking to my mentors the other night about this sort of stuff, and one's in the public health industry. And she goes, she's always talking about this sort of stuff. Conflict resolution in her workplace. And she's, well, over 40. I think she's in her 50s or 60s or something like that. 50s at least. she's always taught, she's saying they're always talking about this sort of conflict resolution at work because it's such an important thing we can always learn about. And these are the few steps that we can start to pull in our own life to do that. See, Jesus knew it was going to be hard to do this. He knew it was going to be... But he also knew of the great benefit of us as doing this. So as we close the year with these sort of messages, the fact that, you know, being judgmental and also, you know, conflict resolution, I put it out to all of us to try and work on this sort of stuff. I can guarantee over the summer, even if you're here or not, that we're going to see sometimes when you have conflict with a few people. Whether you're tired or whether you're not, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, whether it's in family, try these skills out. Try these things out. Think about different ways where you can put it into your own life. Let's close in prayer. Hey God, we just thank you for your example. We thank you for your inspiration to us, dear Lord. We know that we even hurt you. There have been many times that you have felt hurt. And Lord, we are sorry for that. But sometimes we are hurt and there are conflicts around us. And you've given us the tools to do that, dear Lord. So often in this world, we don't look at them. We just look at everyone around us and we dwell it up and we keep it bottled up in our own hearts. Lord, give us the courage and confidence to deal with it. Help us when we need to do that. Lord, make it be our goal for summer, for this time that we can work on this sort of stuff in our own lives. We just pray these things in your mighty and wonderful name. Amen.